be unafraid, you know, unafraid to talk to someone or put yourself out there or text first or like be honest with people about, you know, what you're going through and your struggles. And if you feel something intuitively, like follow that, you know, make sure that it's not like rooted in fear or ego, but like follow intuition. You know, it's like the most powerful gift we have as women.
You're listening to the Almost 30 podcast, hosted by Krista Williams and Lindsay Simsek. Almost 30 started as a conversation about the transition from our 20s to our 30s. But then we realized life is full of transitions. So we expanded our mission.
We are an intuition-led, wellness-focused lifestyle podcast that promises to deliver authentic conversations, diverse points of view, and insights rooted in optimism, growth, and intention. The Almost 30 Nation community is a group of purposeful dreamers who are smart, passionate, and always seeking the full potential in every aspect of their lives.
At Almost 30, we're making magic together. We dream it,
and then we do it.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Almost 30 podcast.
Here we go. Welcome back to Almost 30.
Hey guys.
Hey.
I'm Krista.
I'm Lindsay. And we are the founders, the hosts, the ones learning with you.
Right down to it. Share the insight from others.
Yeah, not the experts. And we don't claim to be, but hopefully we're having conversations on here that inspire you, maybe make you laugh or make you feel like, oh, wow, I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
make
goodness.
You cry. We've had some criers.
Woo, I've had some cries recently from our episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. There have been some crying ones.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just here to experience life with you, to grow with you. And we're so grateful.
Truly. We are on tour now. Mm-hmm. So just kind of a little plug in case you're in a city that we are going to visit. It would mean the world to us if we could meet you. It really inspires us in what we do. And so you can visit almost30podcast.com. We have our tour dates up there, 13 cities this year thus far. Famous last words, I'm sure. Knowing us, we'll add something. No, but we're really, really excited to bring some of our dear friends and people within the wellness world, spirituality world, entrepreneurship world, that we feel like we could have a conversation with in your presence to just have a conversation about anything that you might be going through in any type of transition.
Yeah. And a lot of our events are workshops where you're getting a healing or you're getting like a one-on-one experience with some of our guests. You're getting to meet amazing women that live in the community where you are or are visiting the community where you are. You get amazing goodies from our sponsors. It is an amazing experience that we are so moved by.
Yeah.
Truly.
Truly. So almost30podcast.com, all the info.
Oh, great.
Oh, great.
Cool.
Bye.
See you later.
Good episode. They like the short ones. So here we go.
No, they don't.
We ask the group on a pretty regular basis what they want to talk about on the podcast. If we can, you know, have a discussion between you and I and maybe either share from our experience or just talk through it and see if we can shed any light on that. And so today we had a question or just a topic that Bridget from Almost 30 Nation brought up. And she said that at this point in my life, she's 29, almost 30, I feel so directly caught between two loud voices in my head. Voice A says, save for the future, babies, houses, retirement. And voice B says, YOLO, bitch. What else in your life will have the freedom to go out with friends? Or when else in your life will you have the freedom to go out with friends, travel, pre-baby, live a little? So she'd love to talk about that internal struggle. And I'm sure she's not the only one.
Yep. Definitely have related to that. You know, I think I guess what comes up for me when I kind of think about that situation is, you know, when people are spending for escapism and the reasons why people spend. So I think there's a difference between YOLOing and, you know, whatever, like you only live once. And then there's a difference between saving for the future for like a mansion house that you may not need. You know, those are obviously extremes at the end of it, but I often found that in situations where I was spending, it was because I was trying to escape. I was trying to find happiness in buying clothes, in buying purses, in buying brand names, in buying labels. And that's not like YOLO, you know, not even to keep using that because whatever that was 5 years ago, but that's not you living your life in alignment and in truth. So there needs to be like a very clear distinction that is made between spending for experiences, for something that your soul is called to do, for something that is deeply aligned with who you are, and spending that is out of alignment that you believe will make you happy, that is purchasing things that you think are going to be fulfilling for you, but only last for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really the work there, isn't focusing on like, should I be going on this trip or should I be saving for my retirement? It's really like always checking in and seeing like what is something that you do want to invest in or save for, or even to spend money on at this time and then potentially in the future.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm kind of learning that in real time. And I think it's not hard. It's just an interesting thing to think about. I don't have anyone that I'm thinking about a future with right now. And I don't have like the conversation of like finances and things like that with, as it relates to another. So I do think I err on the side of, you know, I save money, and I've actually, I'm pretty proud of myself for getting kind of back on track as it relates to that. But, you know, I do not want to live in a scarcity mindset as well. So yeah, to your point, it is being intentional about how I spend my money. So for me, and it comes in seasons, right? Like maybe I'm really excited to invest in an experience. So doing maybe a solo trip and really having that time for myself, like that is important to me. Or maybe it is a week of like really full on like obnoxious self-care. So really just like whatever it looks like for you, making sure that it feels aligned. And like you said, it's not in a way to escape. Rather, it's something that fills you up, that enhances where you are in your life, you know, and no judgment. It could look completely different from one person to the next. But yeah, I do think there is a balance that needs to happen between saving for specific things that are important to you. And because it feels so good when you get to that point, I think the dissonance comes when people are impatient. They're like, it's so far. It's like 10 years from now. And then like, what am I going to do? And I hear that, but then also like 10 years from now, when you have X amount of dollars saved for this thing that means so much to you, it's going to be just such a beautiful, proud moment, you know?
Yeah, completely. And I think, you know, there is thinking about like this spiritual path, like the most beautiful part of the spiritual path is simplicity, is less, is not being distracted by things or items or purchases or things that you could buy. So, you know, oftentimes if you think about like the most spiritual experience is the most simple, doesn't attach to materialism, attaches to less rather than attaching to more. So if you are, you know, saving for whatever it is, I think there's, you know, everyone has their things, whether it's a house, which is a beautiful thing to like create that container for you that makes sense. Or if, but you know, it's just like, are you going to be saving for like a purse? Are you going to be saving for whatever? So thinking about that and then thinking about your future self. So I have been trying to work with my future self, you know, just as much as I do with my younger self. I'm not really good at the interdimensionality of the selves, to be honest. So I'm trying to be better about it because I'm so present and then forward, but I'm forward in the sense of a few years or a few months or hours rather than forward as much as 30 years. And the Krista that exists on this plane also exists in other dimensions as the person that I am at certain ages. So by me like paying heed to my older self, I am going to think about being more financially savvy because I want to support her by giving her a beautiful home, by like giving her a stress-free life. That means that I will think about investing, or I will think about putting money aside, or I will think about frivolous charges that don't make sense to me, that are quick hits, that are, you know, not really going to perpetuate me in the long run. That being said, I've always been a proponent of travel, and I've always been someone that spends, even if I don't have it and I'm putting it on credit cards, like I did a lot in my early 20s on travel. And you know what? That's probably not the smartest advice ever, but I don't know of anyone that has come back from a trip or an experience that is as expansive as that for your soul, for your emotional well-being, for the experience of being a human on this earth, getting to see different families, different type of people, hearing different languages, experiencing different food, being in nature, whatever it is. I've never heard of someone coming back regretting spending that extra money on that experience. And that is saying that, understanding the fact that 40% of Americans have, you know, $6,000 to $7,000 on their credit card, and that people don't really have the money that they are spending. But if we are cutting back in other ways and focusing more on the experiential part of living rather than the stuff, I think that's where we could really, really hang our hats.
Yeah, could not agree more.
Yeah.
And I would just say too, to kind of help you feel more of what that future self feels like, looks like, you know, lives like, you know, doing those practices that might feel a little bit cheesy, but whether it is kind of meditating and feeling maybe there is a moment in the future where you are in your house or you are on that trip or with that person or doing that thing, like there is something to actually feeling it in your body and then being able to, in the moment of, oh, should I buy this $800 purse or save and put it towards something else, where that feeling will remind you of what is really important or that is what your soul wants. You know what I mean? So doing those practices that really bring you back to yourself and connect you to that trajectory of your soul in that way, I think are really important. Sometimes writing that future biography feels really good to people. Whatever it is, it looks, you know, like so many different things, but I've been really resonating with the meditating on that specific moment in the future or that relationship in the future or the opportunity in the future and letting my mind go and like putting on maybe some music to help me to, I'm kind of in that way, like performative where I'm like, oh, I need to set the scene. So this music feels like I'm on that vacation with my dream person and this is what we're doing. And this is what he's saying. And this is how I'm feeling. And, you know, just allowing yourself to daydream like forwardly and so that it is in your body more. So you're not forgetting those like goals and wishes and dreams.
Love that. Love that.
Hope
awesome.
That
thanks for the question. Truly. We have a bunch more questions on the thread in the Secret Almost 30 podcast Facebook group that you can find on Facebook where we have 10,000 plus women that are connecting in real time.
Yeah, it's the best place on the internet, if I do say
truly,
so myself.
I mean, people have said it, not us.
Okay, so today is a special one. You were interviewed on someone else's podcast
It
freaking rocked.
Yo, I actually...
My socks off.
So I met Natalia at an event, Whitney Eckris's of the Influence Movement. She has a podcast called Under the Influence. And we went to an event that she hosted here in LA. It was great. It was a panel of awesome women. And I was up there with Natalia Benson. And she is an astrologer. She is just such a gem. You can find her online at Natalia, NATALIA. _BENSOM. She's an empowerment coach, a mystic, astrologer. And she interviewed me for her podcast and I just had a great experience. We talked really deeply about relationships, about being in conscious relationships, about calling in conscious partnerships, about the growth that you experience when you're in a soul connected relationship. And I don't really talk a lot about my relationship. So it felt really good to be in a space where I felt safe and I felt comfortable and I felt empowered to express myself fully and to stand in the light of the love that I have, you know, this beautiful, like indescribable love that I've been given in my life by being with Justin. So I wanted to share this for you guys. I think there's tons of information and I love when we talk about relationships, we talk about love, we talk about partnership, however your partnership looks like, man, woman, girl, boy, they, them, he, her. And I think you guys are going to get a lot from it. So this is an interview that I did on Natalia Benson's podcast called Power Babe Interviews. And I am so excited for you to listen. Again, you can find Natalia, N-A-T-A-L-I-A _Benson on Instagram, and you can listen to her podcasts on her link on her website.
So good. I'm excited for this one. And if this episode resonates with you, pass it along, share it with people on Instagram, just text it to your friends, whatever it is, and leave a review on iTunes if you're called to. It means so much to us. And we'll read one on the other side of this interview. Let's do it. You ready?
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
I don't care what anyone says, lube makes every intimate experience, whether by yourself or with someone, better.
100%. It's actually crazy because I don't know, I don't know if I ever had an idea of lube that I thought, you know, it was unsexy or it was, I don't know. I think there's some stigmas around it. And mm-hmm. I think that since I've started using it, I am obsessed with it. I love womb or play. It is delicious. It is fun. It makes things easy. And especially when you just want to get things going, womb or play is absolutely the best.
Yeah. And their ingredients are all natural. So it has virgin coconut oil, vanilla essence, beeswax, stevia. This shit tastes good.
It's the bomb. I like snack on it.
Oh, it's so good. And it has really beautiful, discreet packaging. So you're not getting like, I don't know, weird packages. And I love to keep this in my night side table and just whip it out whenever I need it. And you can try Woo More Play by going to woomoreplay.com, entering the code ALMOST30 for 10% off your purchase. So that's WOOMOREPLAY.com. Use the code ALMOST30 for 10% off.
I am so stoked. I have Krista Williams here today of The 100 blog and one of the co-hosts. Do you call it like co-owner, co-host?
Yeah, it's so weird. I think about that with my Instagram bio all the time. I'm like, I'm a co-host, but also I'm a co-owner. But also, yeah. You know, it's like very weird. I just say co-host, but it is owner because it's more than just a podcast.
Yeah, you're like a conglomerate. Of the, all right, hi babes. So co-host, co-owner of the Almost 30 podcast. Krista, thank you. As I just said, thank you so much for being willing to be in one of my Power Babe interviews.
Oh, I'm so honored. I loved like meeting you and just chatting with you. I could talk to you all day. So I couldn't be, you know, more excited to be a Power Babe conversation with you.
Well, and I want to tell you guys too. So Krista and I were on a panel together. And she was sitting next to me and I was like, oh my God. I was like, it's that hot babe from Almost 30. I was like, oh my gosh, she's sitting next to me. And I recognize you just from all the things. And it's powerful because, you know, I kind of pride myself on not like we live in LA. Like I don't get starstruck except for from people that really like touch me or that I really connect with. You know what I mean? And it was so funny. Like when you were sitting next to me, I was like in the most beautiful way, like so intimidated and so excited that you were sitting next to me.
Oh my God. That makes me so, it was like good.
Isn't that funny?
It felt so grounded. And I'm the same exact way. Like someone could be like, oh, Ariana Grande is over there. I'm like, love and respect, but I don't give a fuck. But if it's like someone bizarre, like Rich Roll or like someone that I truly admire, like even people on the podcast, like people are like, who's your dream guest? I'm like, to be honest, I'm never inviting my dream guest on the podcast because it would make me too nervous. Like Ray or like Russell Brand, like people that I like admire make me nervous. So I'm like, they would never be on.
You know what? And that's, I think like one of the, I think that that's one of the best ways to be. It's like, cause then it's like you're, it has like a root and like a groundingness and like things you actually respect and like things that inspire you. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yes.
And then you're like, and we won't have you because I mean, I feel like both of you and I are both quite articulate, but it like, even for me to like reach out to you to ask you to do this was like a thing for me. So,
really? Oh my God, you're such a peanut.
Isn't that funny?
It's so weird. I'm like, I literally just grew up in Ohio. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's weird to, you know, it's so flattering and it means so much. But when I'm talking on the podcast, it just feels like I'm just speaking to you or speaking to everyone. So, you know, when people like think that, it's like, so flattering and sweet.
Well, and it's powerful to see how you like can touch people, you know what I mean? Or like inspire them. You don't even know. And that to me is what's so powerful about digital media and about the impact that we're having as women is like, you get to, it's like you, we don't even, I mean, this is the way that I look at it. It's like, there's so much genius and so much, like, we're so like, there's so much smarts and like power and inspiration in this podcast spectrum. And I feel like that's something that you and, you know, your partner, Lindsay, like you guys have really capitalized on so well. So good fucking job. And like, I'm just happy that you're here. I want to know about your story. Cause the part of the reason I wanted to start this series is like, just to talk to powerful women who've built themselves, who are self-made. And I just love to hear like how, just whatever you want to share from your story, your adversities, like, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. And that's, you know, sharing the story of someone that has not had it super easy is always something that we definitely look for when our podcast guests, because, you know, if it's just important for us too. So thank you for asking. So I grew up in Ohio. So I grew up in a small town in Ohio, very conservative, you know, very closed-minded Catholic family. My mom struggled with like mental illness her whole life. And so most of my like childhood was kind of confusing and hard. And I struggled a lot with my mental health when I was little. I remember I was very depressed at a very young age, and I would often turn to food for support and as an escape, you know, because I didn't really know how to manage who I was and my emotions. And I was a very, you know, emotional kid too. And as a Pisces, I didn't necessarily know what that meant. And I didn't necessarily know how to work with my emotions or anything like that. And so I grew up, and then in high school, I was kind of a rebel. I was like smoking weed a lot. I was kind of like doing my own thing. And I don't think people really expected me to be anything. Mm-hmm. I was part of like the cool group, I guess, but really chose to hang out with like anyone that I liked. And then went to college in Ohio too. I chose to stay home to be closer to my high school boyfriend that I had. Started drinking a lot in college, even though I never really liked it, and it never really brought me joy. And then my first sort of movement to spirituality happened when I started to read about vegetarianism with a book called Eating Animals.
Wow.
So I'm a vegetarian in college in Ohio. And I remember it was like the craziest thing. You know, my boyfriend at the time was like, thought it was insane. But that was really like my first thing that I felt like was a conscious decision of my own. You know, it was like, oh, I actually have control over, not necessarily what I'm eating in like a crazy way, but I have control over an impact that I can make. I have control over what I put in my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I have control over like decisions that I'm making, because I felt like for most of my life, you know, I didn't really have control, or I didn't see myself as someone that could create my own reality.
Yeah.
So that kind of snowballed from there. And I stopped drinking shortly after college. I moved to Chicago. I worked at a corporate job I hated. I left after a sexual harassment case happened that I was part of with a boss that I had, which was kind of just the universe like pushing me out because I wasn't, you know, moving quick enough.
Yes.
At that time, I left for Patagonia. I lived in Patagonia for like a month with this program, you know, was off the grid. In between that time, I had met my boyfriend, or I'd met my boyfriend, Justin, for the second time. So I met him one time in college, and then I met him again. And then we kept in touch via text message. Mm. And I decided to move to New York. You know, we'd probably seen each other four times, maybe five times total in our lives, but I knew, and I felt it. And I remember when I told him on the phone, I was like, I'm going to move to New York. And he was like, so excited. And
Oh my God.
You know, I was really scared because it seemed crazy to everyone else. You know, everyone was kind of worried about me.
Yeah.
But it was the best, one of the best decisions I've ever made. And then
do you feel like when you know with that stuff, like, do you feel like you, it's like you just know, right? It's a feeling.
It's so hard because I completely agree. And like, I've always said that my whole life. I'm like, I've always known. And even, you know, I had another person that was like a very influential relationship in my life when I was very young. Mm-hmm. And I knew with that one, what I know now is there was a twin flame and just a person. But like, So for me, as like a spiritual person that is very intuitive, I know, but it's so hard because sometimes I look at other people that are happy and they're like, yeah, when we first met, I hated him, or like, I didn't like him, whatever. And it works. So totally. It's different for everyone, but I've always known that I would know. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's always been a part of me that would know if it's right or know if it's something that I should like continue moving toward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sorry to interrupt. I got excited and I just like wanted to hear your take on that. Cause we said we're totally going to traverse the relationship topic.
Oh my God. I know. And I sometimes just, yeah, I just feel like an asshole being like, it, with my relationship, it's something that I, you know, I keep so close to my heart, but, and I just, I never want to seem like I'm being better than, or I'm being like, I know everything, or I'm being like, one love is better than the other. But, and you know, so sometimes when I say like, oh, I knew, you know, I knew he was the one, I, when I did, like, I knew the second time I met him, I put him in my phone as soulmate. You know, so it was very weird, but it is like an uncomfortable thing for me. And that's like my Midwest roots, is like always to like never talk about how good things are, or like how things are and stuff. So
yes, I feel, you know, babe, just to touch on that, I feel like it's so funny you say that. I just yesterday started noticing that in myself, that it can be so hard for me to like express. And it's something I have to push through, because I'm like, wait a second, you want other people to know what's possible. Like, it's like you playing small, or like talking about only what's maybe not going great just so other people feel comfortable. Like, that is like, I don't think that's healthy for anybody, right? But it is, I think it is kind of ingrained in us to just want to be like, oh yeah, like it can be hard to share because you don't want people to feel like they're not measuring up. But really, and you hope that it can come from a place of like, no, this is hopefully to inspire you what's possible. Because relationship stuff is such a big, it's such a big trigger for, I even noticed like recently talking to people, because I'm just in this new relationship, talking to people about it, how you get the myriad of reactions, because everyone, the moment you talk about love or sex, people are like instantly reflecting back to themselves. And like, instead of, very rarely are people like, oh yes, fuck yeah for you, and like, so happy for you, or like, what's this or what's that? Usually people just instantly go to their first wound or their reaction point. You know what I mean? So I totally get that. And it's funny you say that, because I was like, fuck, that's a random, like, for me, I was like, that's such a random thing to notice about yourself, but it's important to notice, you know?
It's so important. And, you know, as people that are so, like, I'm so lucky, you know, I'm so blessed. I have so much, and I'm living a life that I could only dream. Mm-hmm. And so it is hard to, and I have the best relationship, you know, it's my like greatest gift. So it does feel weird, but you're completely right. And I'm always remembered by like my deep, my meaningful friendships, that me speaking about it does allow them to know what's possible, and that you can have everything you want in a relationship.
Yes.
You can be with someone that you don't want to change. And, you know, you can like evolve and you can grow, and that, you know, Justin for me is my, he's a mirror for me. So, you know, I've been with people that are like a yin to my yang, you know, they're different than me and we balance each other out, or like they match me in some ways. But Justin is like, if I'm showing up in a certain way, he will completely show up in that certain way back to me.
Yes.
And so for me, he's like such a lesson. He like teaches me so many lessons and he doesn't even, you know, really know it.
Oh my God. Tell me what you think about this. It just came up as you were sharing that. Like, what do you think also of the concept around deserving? Like, you know how that's, it can be kind of a hard, it's been a conversation that's been coming up for me a lot with like clients and my best friends and things like that, especially around for women, like this concept of deserving, because you're talking about how like you're experiencing a life of your creation, like something that I'm sure whether consciously or unconsciously you visioned, you desired, and you went for to create it on all levels. So what, like, what do you think about that word? Does it feel like a positive word to you? Does it feel like something like, I want to share what I think about it, and I don't want to skew you, but I want to hear more about this from women, of like the concept of deserving. Cause I think sometimes we go and we're like, oh, like, do I deserve this? Or is this possible or whatever? So I want to hear your take on that.
Yeah. And there are things in my life that I feel, it's very interesting, you know, like there that I feel very deserving of. And my relationship with Justin is like one of them. I've never had an issue with my dad and I are very close, and I've had a very good, strong relationship with him. And he really modeled for me that I could always be myself, that I always loved and supported, that a bunch of different things. So, you know, my relationships with men, which is what I'm attracted to, have always come easy for me. So my deservingness of Justin has always, you know, that belief has always came very easy to me. And that was the thing when I started dating him is, you know, he is so gorgeous. Like, he is just a stunner. And like, I, you know, like, it's not like I'm out of his league or he's out of my league, but like, it was like a little, like, didn't think I could get someone like him, pretty much, is what I'm saying. Yeah. But like, there was a deep sense within me that knew I deserved him, and that I deserved love like that, and that I deserved to grow with someone, and that I was capable of something like that. The career stuff is a little bit harder for me, you know, with the deserving. I know that for almost 30, we are deserving of the success. And the reason I know it is because it's aligned with me. And it's like the same with Justin, where it's like universally a gift. And I know that. And so it's easy for me to accept as like something I deserve. There's definitely things that I've happened in my life, you know, where I'm like, I don't know if I deserve that. And it's very easy for me to like say I did or I didn't.
Yes. Okay. Amazing. Because I think that when we don't feel deserving, we push things away from even the things that are great. And so I do think this is such a powerful word. I had a client a couple of years ago and did very, very well, came from a very successful family. And I remember I learned just as much from her as she was learning from me. And I remember she was telling me once, she was talking about something and she was like, yeah, well, I deserve it. And she said it so clearly. And it was sort of a weird conversation. I won't get into it, but I remember being like, you know what? All fucking men, when you believe you deserve something, the universe mirrors that. And even for me, I've talked about this a lot with my audience is like, I feel like only in the last year did things start to come together for me. Like only after a very long time of struggle and trial and error and really a lot of suffering. And there finally came this point where like when things were starting to smooth out and starting to feel good. And even for me, just getting into this beautiful relationship, I'm like, whoa, you've got to remember that you deserve this. And even if you worked for it or you didn't, but just in the fact that like you exist and like you want to live a beautiful life, you deserve it. And I think as women, when we start to have this conversation with ourselves, which is where everything begins, obviously, I think it can change so much, right? Because I wanted to hear from you about, like, I can tell that you're in something so just beautiful and fortified. You know what I mean? And I was like, I wonder if she's felt like, yes, I deserve this. I deserve someone to see me, love me, support me as like a powerful woman. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I love hearing that. Thank you for sharing.
It's interesting too with the deserving thing. It's like, there's a way that people say like, I deserve this. And they don't have it. And it's kind of like I deserve this. And it's kind of like a annoyingness that they don't have it. So they are saying it almost in vain. And then there's an annoyingness like where you have your new partner and you're like, you have it. And you're like, wow, I deserve this.
Yes.
And there's gratitude in that deserving that you have. So it's more so like, I am agreeing and I am grateful. I'm agreeing with the universe's decision to do this and I'm grateful. Yes. And that means I'm deserving.
Yes. Instead of it coming from a place of entitlement, you can tell the energy of deservingness where it's like coming from the heart of like, fuck yes, thank you. Like I deserve this. Thank you so much. Like you said, the gratitude versus like, oh, I deserve this just because it's weird what a fine fucking line that is. You know what I mean? But it's like when I know, like, I'm glad you bring that up because it's like, yeah, I think when I was having that first conversation, it was coming from a little bit of the entitlement and the vanity spectrum. But at the same time, I was like, well, but hey, like, hats off to you. That's why you have what you have, because you believe like through and through that you deserve. And so I wanted to bring this up, and hopefully this is something that, you know, you babes can resonate with if you're struggling in any part of your life around self-worth or anything in relationship, money. I think as women as a collective, like really honoring this energy of deservingness from our heart and spirit, and something that works in tandem with the universe versus like, well, I just deserve this for whatever. But yeah, that is a tough, I've actually never explored what a thin line that is. So
and too
many things to think about.
Deserving thing. I think a lot of women too, like, and myself included, are like, I deserve this. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like sometimes when affirmations are said in vain, you know, you're like, I am the best. And like, you really truly at your core don't think you're the best, or you really truly at your core. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, I think women need to explore and do the work around shadow and around what it is that is really going on in their subconscious, or what actions they're doing that reaffirm that they don't deserve it. Although in their head, they're thinking, I do deserve this. I do deserve this. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, something as you were talking about that, have you ever tried EFT tapping?
I have, but like only, you know, I've just like done it twice.
Totally. You're like tap, tap. That for me, I think is what started to unearth and heal and clear my blocks around deservingness. And because we all find our medicine, I like to say, like we all find our ways to get out of the bushes and really look at the shadow for what it is and honor it. And because it's not about even like eradicating it, it's just learning your tools of how to work with it, right? So for me personally, the tapping thing is a big one. And anytime I have stuff come up, I like to work with tapping. I was wondering if you tried it.
My favorite pieces in my apartment right now are all of my things from Article. So Article has gorgeous mid-century modern pieces that are actually really affordable. And I got this amazing tidal blue sofa bed that Justin and I actually pull the sofa bed out most nights to watch TV. It is gorgeous, it is affordable, and they were able to deliver it right to my door.
What I love about Article is that they have a flat rate of $49 for shipping. That is unheard of. No matter how many items, every order is $49 to ship. And they eliminate other added costs and keep their prices low by just taking away the layers of traditional retail. Love them for that. You will love Article. Article.com/almost30 and use the code almost30 to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. So that's article.com/almost30. Use the code almost30 to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
I'm in love with Daily Harvest. So if you guys know me, you guys know I am not that much of a cook and I need healthy food in a pinch. So I love that Daily Harvest sends me a variety of healthy food options that I can just whip up very, very quickly. I'm in love with their smoothies in the morning. They have one that has avocado in it, cacao. It's super filling. And then for lunch, I will do one of their amazing soups. I love the cucumber avocado one. It's green, it's filling. And then dinner, you can do one of their bomb bowls.
Mm-hmm. I love the sweet potato and wild rice hash right now. I also am digging the butternut squash and kale shakshuka.
Yes.
So good and so thoughtful. All of the ingredients, all of the fresh produce is flash frozen at peak freshness. We love Daily Harvest. You can go to daily-harvest.com and use the code almost30 to get 3 free cups in your first box. So that's daily-harvest.com and enter the code almost30 to get 3 free cups in your first box.
So do you, like, if you notice something coming up, then you go to tapping, or do you kind of sit and bring it up and then tap?
Like, just to be so honest, like, okay, so we're going to talk about your chart at some point in our conversation. And like, I have a Venus in Pisces, which being an Aries, that's like that's something I've really had to grow into, because being an Aries, I have 4 planets in Aries. You have a lot of Capricorn, by the way, in your chart. I don't know if you know that.
I just found out you can tell because I'm
bossy babe. Yeah, you're work. Yeah, so I've got a lot of planets in Aries, and then I've got this Venus in Pisces. Well, those two things don't really know how to communicate. Like Aries is like warrior, go forward, take no prisoners, kind of Mars energy. And then that Venus in Pisces is so, so sensitive. And I've really struggled throughout my life with abandonment issues. And even now, like falling in love and being with someone that makes me feel so safe, so deserving, so like there's no words to describe the energy of safety that I feel, but I still can have these things come up. But the nice thing is I can bring it to the spectrum of the relationship. So he's aware of when it comes up for me, and then I tap on it. So it's like, even yesterday I saw this thing on Instagram, like where someone lost their spouse, and it just, for some reason, since I was a kid, it's always been my biggest fear. I think in a past life that absolutely happened to me. So it's just something that's a very unwarranted fear. Like I've never been married in this life. Like I've never really lost anyone in that way. But I anytime I have that fear come up, and it can kind of, doesn't take me for such a ride anymore, but I just will tap on it and I'll just kind of like move into the whole tapping thing. And it's just, babe, it's so fucking powerful. And and I think that you can tap on anything. You can tap on deserving. You can tap on procrastination. You can tap on fucking whatever. Like I'm always like, you can just tap that. I learned tapping from this amazing woman, Gala Darling, and she became a friend of mine. And she's just really teaching me that tool has just been like life-changing. And I think it's good for women who have a lot on their plate, because we come up, we of course, like you are like full steam ahead, like fucking to the top, but like we still have emotions and cycles and menstruation and like lots of thoughts. And so it's like, I just think it's a great tool, but yeah.
I love that, because I try and do like the breath and release, but I think that is really good. And I'm trying to catch myself more with those kind of thoughts, you know, because it's, we're have these same thoughts for years and years and years, and just trying to be more, you know, privy to when they come up. So I think that's a good way for me to kind of like work through them.
What are some of your like spiritual practices? Like what are some of like the tools you use, having like a lot of eyes on you, a lot of, you know, I don't know if they feel like expectations, but just, you know, a big workload, a relationship, like, you know, you guys have a huge audience. It's like, what are some ways that like you stay centered having like a big career and like a big life and personality?
For me, like one of my biggest spiritual practices that I've been really tapping into the past couple months is being like radically honest.
I saw that. I feel like a freak. Remember I told you, I was like, sorry, Krista, I've been like stalking you for days.
And I was thinking about that. It's just like, dude, like with a business, running our own business, we in a business that is heart-centered, that I love, that I'm working with people that I love, you know, in the conscious community, it's amazing and incredible, but it also is challenging to be a business owner and a personality, you know, I'm the exact same, but when I'm talking to a brand about deliverables or money negotiations or contractual negotiations or with our team, whatever, it's kind of like, it was really hard for me for a while to express how I truly felt, because as a Pisces too, you know, I have the duality where I am wondering if what I'm saying is me projecting. I'm wondering if it's coming from the right place. I'm wondering how they're going to take it. I'm playing through in my head how they're going to take it, why they're saying what they're saying. Maybe it's something I didn't do. So there's always the analysis that I kind of bring into every conversation. And I've just been kind of like releasing that and trying to just trust in myself as a business owner, trust in myself as an entrepreneur, trust in myself like on a holistic level to communicate effectively with love and to just kind of get to it, you know, with things that it's okay if I write emails and I'm not always like, hey, XOXO, like da 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 da, you know, being with all the niceties, because it doesn't mean I don't send love if I'm not doing all those things. And it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. And it doesn't mean I'm a bad person if I'm not always bubbly and chipper and da 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 da. So just kind of breaking through that to just be more of who I am and like more of like the Capricorn part of me and like owning it.
Oh my God, babe, that is so powerful. Cause I think that's something as powerful women that you, that we struggle with is like, we're expected to be nice. We're expected to, even if we're like superseding you in numbers or whatever, like XOXO, like keep it sweet, or maybe we don't get what we want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's like, it's such a struggle, you know, even in the corporate world, and then being outside of it, I'm just experiencing it so much so, because a lot of what I do, I need to have people like me. And that's the flex, is that people do like me and I do feel loved and liked, but like my business is based on a lot of on that. So there's just a lot of pressure in that. So being really confident about being honest, and being radically honest in a lot of ways is being radically present. So that means that if someone says something to me that does not align with me or that I don't agree with, that I'm so present that I have the know-how to respond in a way that's going to make me proud.
Oh my God. That's fucking huge. That this is you being fully in your power. Did this take you like a little while to get to that?
Oh yeah, for sure. It was like all last year, and you know, my whole life I've been like working up to this, and now with almost 30, I've just become more so. I had a facial with this girl. Her name is Colette, and she's in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And she's an intuitive, but she also does facials. So she was like doing my facial, and I was having a really, really hard time at our last tour stop for almost 30, because I just was very much in my head about everything, about every decision, about who I was, all these things. And she just said to me, she's like, you need to be more of like your bitchy self. She's like, you're trying to be too nice to everyone. You're trying to like do all these things. And like, part of like why people are attracted to you is because like, you can play both sides. You can't play playful, but you can play like very serious. And like, you know what I mean? And it just like, it was, she said it in so many ways. And a lot of it has to do with the way I was grew up. I, you know, it wasn't really a safe space for me to share emotionally. So I've kind of that through.
Totally.
So it just like gave me the permission. And when something makes sense to me, I'm able to apply it very quickly. Like,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? If something is like, okay, I get it. It's literally ingrained in my life for the most of my life. So that really just gave me the permission. And now I've just been like kind of working with it for the past couple months.
Wow. That is fucking, that just like really, you know, when someone says something and you're just like, wow, like that just really clicked for me, because it's something that's been very internal. Like I haven't really talked about it. So to hear you reflect that and that you're applying it is just incredible. And like, I feel like too, obviously something that you explore is like the keeping it 100, like keeping it fucking honest and real. And also ironically, cause I'm like so esoteric and I'm analyzing everything all the time, but then also observing this journey from like a woman from your 20s to your 30s. So it's like, I do feel like as you know, you start to gather like in your own power, it's like you just stop making excuses for yourself. And it's like the things you used to do to kind of survive and get by, it's like those things don't apply anymore. And that's so liberating. I feel like that's like what you're tapping into with all of this.
100%. I mean, yeah. And that's, I'm kind of just working through too, like less excuses. You know, there are parts of my life where I make excuses, for myself, you know, that I want to kind of work against on like a personal level. So yeah, but I mean, that's like, I mean, honestly, when my life changed was when I stopped making fucking excuses, and I stopped like drinking, and I stopped like going to the club all the time. And I stopped like bullshitting myself that like the jobs I was at weren't for, you know what I mean? It's like people literally would be blown away at what they could create in their lives if they would stop lying to themselves.
Oh my God. That's fucking everything.
You know?
Yeah.
I hate to be harsh, but it's true.
It is. You know what? Everything changed for me this year. I was writing in a journal and I started noticing that I'd always write the positive shit, right? I'd be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Cause I didn't want to like acknowledge the shitty shit. I'd be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Everything changed. I only did this maybe a month ago. And I was like, this is what isn't working in my life right now. And then everything changed. It was like, this is what I'm no longer like, why am I like sugarcoating this to myself? Like, this isn't, I don't fucking like any of this. It was around being single
it was around certain things with like money habits that I had. And I was like, sis, like no one's going to change these two things for you, but you know what I mean? So that's, to me, that is massive when we stop lying to ourselves.
And I could do a better job with that. Like, I feel like the shadow work, I've done a lot of it, but I feel like there is still like, and as a Pisces, like there's so many layers. Like sometimes I feel like I'm never truly going to know who I am, but
yeah.
It's like, I feel like I could be better about that, to be honest. And like writing like what isn't working and being more honest about what isn't working. And because it does, there is that part of me that's been indoctrinated with like the secret stuff, you know, yes. Like say it out loud and then it exists. And a lot of times when issues arise in my life, I don't tell anyone or I don't say anything because I'm like acknowledging it then makes it happen or something.
I mean, and that is the only thing for me that I didn't connect to about the secret, right? And it's like, that isn't fair or human. I was like 19 when that was like going around and I watched the DVD, remember those? And I was like, I just like watched it a few times and I really connected to it. But I remember for a little while, I was so young and I just remember being like, oh, I can't be human, you know what I mean? And we have to acknowledge the shadow. We have to acknowledge the shit. That's how we get better. Like your experience and mine has, and the building comes from acknowledging what isn't working and then doing the work there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so like having your emotions is healthy.
Yes.
You know,
Do you connect to being a Pisces in that way? Cause like you are very strong. Like it, like I told you when I met you, I was like, you have like a, like I can see the Capricorn. Like I have to go back and look at your rising. Do you remember your rising? I didn't write it down.
I think it's Sagittarius.
We'll look at it in a second. But I remember like when I met you, you do have both sides where you feel like approachable and you're obviously very like stunning, but then you have this power to you that's like very like, and that's a challenging and incredible energy to hold in the world as a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's like such an honor. And it's been something that, you know, for a long time I didn't understand and it brought me negative attention. You know, so now it's only now that I've learned how to play with it and I've learned the power of it and I've learned to manage it or like direct it, you know, because if I'm someplace or if I'm doing something and I want to be respectful of someone else who is deserving of the attention, you know, you have to kind of like do a little energy management so that no one's like paying attention to me or, you know what I mean? It's just like it's an interesting dance and it is a blessing. And I'm so grateful for, you know, my spirit and my highest self for being in this body. But there are times where I'm just like, damn, dude, like it is tiring to like be an energy controller of a situation. Like I have like times with like relationships and stuff. I'm like, dude, I wish that like, cause some days as a Pisces, like I'll walk into a room and I'm like, just not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. And being like a strong energy for, I can make the fucking room, everyone in the room feel, and you know what I mean? On the other side, I can make everyone like have the best day ever and have so much fun. But like, sometimes it's a bad thing. Cause I'm like, I wish I was held more, but being strong energy, people are a little intimidated to do that. And so like, it's something that is a blessing and a curse, to be honest.
Absolutely. And I cut you off about the Pisces thing. Like you kind of like touched on it there a little bit, but how do you connect to that energy? Because you're right. Energy management, I've never even thought of those words, but that is exactly what it is when you hold a certain power. And this is for like all women. Like, and I've always said that women, we almost have to be even more, what's the word I'm looking for? Like multifaceted, because we have to read layers of Tony Robbins once said that like women are prey. And only because in a hunter-gatherer type society, like we were the ones that were protected. And now things are so shifting because, you know, we're stepping into power and holding these more dominant roles. Yes. But then we have to be so intuitive because it's a new space for us to be in. And we're still feminine and delicate in our ways. And we do need that holding and we do need, like we're much more, as I said, like there's much more of a multifaceted nature to being a woman, but then also being a powerful woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like the, with great power comes great responsibility. You know, like when you're conscious, it's amazing and it's the best, but then you also are conscious. So, you know, where, you know, people that I know that I love don't know that they're in, you know, that their energy is a certain way or that they're, you know, and so it's a beautiful thing because then you are in control and you can kind of, you know, work things, but then it's also frustrating too because you're like, okay. No, it feels like a lot of pressure. You're like, okay, this is another thing. You know, it's another thing I have to like do and be conscious of. But, you know, I wouldn't really have it any other way. And you can only just like educate people to like try and manage their own energy the best that they can.
Yes. And that's a Pisces energy too, I'll say as well, is like being so observant is not the word I'm looking for, but you know what I mean? Like reading everything, because water too, water absorbs. So it's like you are just like reading and witnessing and like figuring it's like very like amoebic. I'm like dancing right now. I'm like, it's like this.
Same. We're both dancing. I know it is. It's like, yeah, the Pisces, I like the Pisces of me in a lot of ways, but sometimes I'm like, it's like my least favorite thing because it is like, I just see every side of every situation. So like, honestly, every side of every situation, and it makes decisions hard at points. Capricorn kind of helps me be more decisive,
yes.
But it can get be really exhausting. You know, just like so much. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And do you ever feel like I said, I wanted to talk about your relationship with Justin. Like, do you feel like in your life and even like in your relationship that there's space for you to like ask to be vulnerable or to ask to be held or to be helped or things like that? Cause I do also think that's so important for us as strong women, but it's something I think we forget to do first. You know what I mean? To ask for what we need.
Yeah. I met Justin when I was 20, I'm 30 now. I met him when I was 24. So, mm-hmm. You know, the person I was then and the person that I am now, like I'm definitely always been someone that transforms. So when I first met him, I probably didn't ask for it. And I'm actually just coming to the point where I'm like able to understand and ask for it and like ask him in a way that makes sense to him.
Yeah.
And you know, that where he doesn't feel like he's doing something wrong or that he's not already being supportive or that I can just be very directive about it. And again, Justin's a mirror. So if I come to him and I'm like, hey, you're not holding me, I don't feel safe, Justin will be like back at me with that same energy.
Yes.
So I always have to come, you know, very centered and soft and like, hey, like I've been going through this week and X, Y, and Z. And I would love if like you would just do this.
Exactly.
And respond in the best way possible.
Yes.
But it's just all about how I approach it. And that was so hard for me, to be honest. Like, I've always been someone that's like very do, like boys, you will do this. Like a man to me for a long time was someone that just did whatever the hell I told him to do.
Yes.
I was like, oh, you do this. Like, it was almost like I was manipulative in that way.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the consciousness and manipulation. So, you know, I wasn't doing anything bad, but like, I didn't know I was being manipulative, but I was. And so now I have to, you know, come from a more heart-centered place. And Justin is a Taurus, but he's so like sweet and sensitive. He's very, very like mushy and gushy and like,
And
so I've had to very much grow in that way. And I'm not perfect by any stretch. I wish I was better at it, but I just kind of think about it all the time.
Well, you know, just to be aware of that is everything. And have you ever heard of Pat Allen, like Dr. Pat Allen? Or I feel like you have the relationship stuff unlocked. My 20s were such a shit show with all of that. So I did so much reading, many readings and seminars, and just, I really wanted to understand relationship energy and what you're talking about. I've actually read in like multiple books, but I believe Pat Allen talks about it quite a bit, of just the whole idea of like, as women, like when we approach our men naturally want to be combative, like they're masculine, testosterone driven beings, right? to put it lightly. And they, you know, challenge and like, they respond to challenge with challenge. And as women, something that something that Pat Allen talks about a lot is like, we kind of lost that softness in the feminist revolution. So even though it gave us a lot of other great stuff, we lost that sense of vulnerability and we lost that sense of softness. And obviously this is generalizing in a huge way. So don't at me, but this is just literally like just a generalization that I really connect to that she talked about. That is something that I like to bring back into the conversation. And it sounds like exactly what you're doing in your relationship. But whereas women like to bring back our softness in our relationships, to know that vulnerability is safety, and that when we approach our man, like we have to come from, it's that mirror energy. If you want to come with combat, you're going to get combat back. It's very, very rare for men to see through that and be like, oh, babe, like let me just, when really all we want is to be held, all we want is to be understood. But when we put all those layers in front of it, they just respond very simply to those layers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is like what I've read in like every relationship book where it's just like, yeah, like approach your man with softness as best you can. Like, of course, no one's fucking perfect. Like we're, and as women, because we have that more multifaceted nature, we can see the 360 of like, okay, how do I go towards this? How can I communicate this? But with practice, it gets better. And this is something like I mentioned, like just getting to test out in my new relationship, but I love it because getting to be more soft and feel connected to in that energy is so soothing versus just thinking you need to fucking have your work pants on and everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So good on you, babes.
Yeah, it's the vulnerability too that you mentioned, that it's like really what it is. You know, mm-hmm. there, I just wasn't before like being vulnerable. You know, I was being like, okay, this needs to happen. This is not happening. You're not planning enough trips or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, I need to have been trying to be more vulnerable and be like, you know, I'm feeling like I just am doing a lot and, you know, I could be wrong. You know, it's just like, and it sounds like I'm being conceding, but it's, and I also think that too, I'm like, yeah, with the feminist revolution, it's like we had to demand. So now yeah. we've been taught to demand.
Yeah.
But really like demanding hasn't helped me in my relationship. And like, mm-hmm. I always think with Justin, with like so many situations, I'm in it for the long haul. You know, I'm in it for, you know, hopefully the rest of my life or the rest of his life or our lives together. God bless. And it's like, there's such little things that I'm just like, not worth it. Like so much is just not worth it. You know what I mean? I'm like, that conversation's not worth it. That conversation's not worth it. This one is, and I'll kind of noodle over it and I'll have it. But like, for me, like our relationship is such a amazing sacred space for me because most of it is rooted in like joy and laughter and fun and play. And
yeah.
I'm already someone that's going to grow and evolve by nature. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily, and we have evolved and grown. He has too, but it's not necessarily like I am leaning on him for like providing me, I guess, more growth opportunities at this time. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When we were with our amazing Kopari family a few weeks ago, we got early access to look at their awesome, awesome, awesome mineral face sunscreen. And I was so excited because I'm such a fan of Kopari. Their coconut-based products are natural and great for you. So I was really excited to hear that they had put in the hard work to make a clean mineral sunscreen.
Yeah, and we need to be using sunscreen all year round. I'm going to say it's almost summer, and that's like especially the time when we should be focused on it, but all year round, people. So this mineral face sunscreen is really important to put on, you know, as you're doing anything else for your face. It's just a part of your routine. I'm also loving for summer, while we're on the subject, the Coconut Body Glow. I love putting this on my legs if I'm wearing shorts or a skirt or going to the beach. Just gives you that extra natural glow, and I love it. So if you'd like to try Kopari, you can go to koparibeauty.com and use our code ALMOST30 for 20% off. So it's for all of your body care, skin care, sun care, personal care, koparibeauty.com, code ALMOST30 for 20% off your first purchase.
My life changed when I was introduced to Four Sigmatic. We have been working with this brand for a few years now, mm-hmm. and they have absolutely changed the way that I live my life. I feel clearer, I feel sharper, and I always have something that is healthy and delicious with me wherever I go.
Yeah, do not disturb me when I am making my Four Sigmatic elixirs. Right now, I'm obsessed with their lattes. So they have a coffee latte, a mocha golden, and a chai latte. I recommend them all. They use a coconut milk powder to make it super creamy. It adds a little natural sweetness to it. I'm just obsessed with everything that they make. I feel so good, whether I need energy, whether I need to settle down at the end of the day, whether I need to prepare for a workout, whether I need to focus better. They have everything for all of those needs.
Yeah, it's the best.
The best. So if you'd like to try Four Sigmatic, you can go to foursigmatic.com/almost30, which will bring you to our landing page, which has some of Krista and I's favorite Four Sigmatic products on there. And then use the code almost30 at checkout for 15% off your first purchase. So foursigmatic.com/almost30, code almost30 for 15% off.
If I'm picking up what you're saying, like you have that center in yourself, mm-hmm. and then you can like come to the awareness or come to the relationship with clarity. And like, that is such a fucking huge thing for like, I think any women listening who are in long-term relationships, I'm sure they can connect with that concept of like, you kind of like my mom would say, like you pick your battles because you're going to have them, like you're going to have this stuff consistently where things come up and it's always like, how do you decipher like what is yours to deal with internally and then what belongs to the dynamic of the relationship? Mm-hmm. And that I think is always the challenging and amazing like adventure of discernment in a partnership. You know what I mean? Of like how, yeah, like what belongs to this and what's just me.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Cool. Yeah, that is spot on, seriously. And most of it's just you.
Isn't it wild?
Like most of it is like just me, you know?
Yes. Oh, in the tarot, the lover's card, it's number 6 and it's a Gemini energy. And the whole concept of it is around mirroring. And I'll send it to you when we're done. I'll DM it to you. But in my tarot book, it's written by this guy. He's like a German spiritual teacher named Gerd Ziegler, but I always tell people, I'm like, this little excerpt of the lover's card in the tarot is the most profound piece of writing I've ever explored on the concept of relationships. And it's maybe a page long. And it just talks about the whole concept of relationship as spiritual mirror, as evolution, but that ultimately it's all about you and everything, no matter how connected you are to another person and partnered you are, like it's still about your journey as an individual within that dynamic and that's where all your growth is. And for some reason, and you know, I was exploring and learning the tarot all throughout my 20s. So I always loved getting the lover's card because I was like, oh yay, like am I gonna like have sex soon? Is someone gonna be my boyfriend? Like what's the deal? But then I was like, no, babe, like it's so like the sex, the relating, the partnership, it's soul work. But we have not been taught that that's what it is, right? We're just taught the romance, like the drama, the this or the that, but really it's what you're talking about where it's like, there's such a deep like medicine in the work of a relationship. And I love that we're talking about this because I told you I wanted to put this out near Valentine's Day because I think you can't talk about relationships consciously without talking about the self, because it's literally about you and what you're bringing and what your soul work is in that partnership.
Yeah. I think that's when things changed for me, you know, when I realized that in my relationships and I would just be so dependent on them before for like my joy, my happiness, you know, and now it's like completely different. And, it's just such a beautiful thing to be a part of. And I think to be honest, we've only dipped our toes in it. You know, Justin and I have done work and stuff, but we have, you know, it is like such a world to explore. You could just spend so much time like exploring intimacy and relationships and shadow in intimacy and relationships. It's like, it is never ending.
Oh my God, it really is. And it's so beautiful. What do you feel like could be some of your best advice for even like women? I like to talk to women who are single. I always feel like there's so much information for people who are in relationships. But what I struggled with when I was single and searching was that there's not always people talking to women who are single. So what do you feel? I know you've been with Justin a long time, but what do you feel like is a great piece of advice for women who are wanting to call someone in or wanting to really experience like deep intimacy with someone and deep, you know, like what you've created in your relationship?
Yeah, I think for me, the thing, so I did like write, you know, get very spirit. It was when I got very spiritual. I wrote Justin down before I met him. I, you know, would like pray over it every night. So I was definitely doing ritual around calling in my soulmate. So I definitely think there's something to that ritual. And then it was the deep believing that I deserved that and that I knew that I could find that. So there's a ritual, there's a hope. And if you needed to do shadow work around that with a therapist or with yourself while journaling or with friends that can help you kind of see blind spots where you may not see them, I think that is always really valuable. But I also too, like my biggest advice and my biggest thing is like, I think that there's so much mixed messaging for women, you know, nowadays with so much. And I've always been like the person that's like, oh yeah, he should call you first. Like he should pay for your dinner. He should do all these things. But like I, with Justin, like very much so went for it and looked a little crazy, you know, didn't do like the normal feminine of like wait, of allowing, of patience. And there is a beauty in that. And I'm working on that now, but I see like people as people and not masculine and feminine at points. And Justin is definitely more feminine in areas than I am masculine. So
amazing.
We would never maybe be together if I wouldn't have just saw him as someone that like maybe was a little too shy, definitely was a little scared and like still went for it and like used my intuition. So like for women, like I would just be unafraid, you know, unafraid to talk to someone or put yourself out there or text first or like be honest with people about, you know, what you're going through and your struggles. And if you feel something intuitively, like follow that, you know, make sure that it's not like rooted in fear or ego, but like follow intuition, you know, it's like the most powerful gift we have as women.
Oh my God. I'm like, oh, this is just like, thank you so much, babe. That was fucking everything. Because I think exactly what you're saying, and that was something I always struggled with, is like being a powerful woman and being someone who's a go-getter. But then in the realm of relationship, everyone and every book and everything always being like, no, wait, do this, do that. And like there's space for that, right? But when someone's your person, they're your fucking person. You can't fuck it up. And that's something I've always tried to like explore. My mom really helped me with that when I was really struggling with dating. And she'd always be like, babe, when it's the right person, you can't do anything wrong. Because especially dating in LA, I was basically single my whole 20s, other than maybe one or two relationships. And it was just like, you think you're doing something wrong so often, like, because it can be very touch and go. And people, you know, it takes someone really, I always say, and if you're listening to this, you're fucking special and beautiful and wonderful. And, you know, your energy brought you here for a reason. And like, there can be like moments where you wonder if there's anybody. And so when you do meet people who are just like run of the mill and playing the games and stuff, it can feel hard to be yourself. But I think that like exactly what Chris is saying, it's like when you can just own that power and own your intuition and be like, yes, it's like, look, this is something I've been teaching a lot lately. It's like, look, if it's not your fucking person, it's not going to work. You can't fuck up what's yours. And I think that there, it's like you said, leave the fear out of it. If something's rooted in fear, release it and go towards like intuitively what feels like it's coming from your heart. But I think we get afraid to get rejected. We get afraid to put our heart out there. Unrequited love is obviously very painful for the human being. So it's like, there's a lot of factors, but that's why I think it's like, we have to own who we are. We have to love who we are, because especially in calling and partnership and relationship, it's, I mean, I can speak from it. It's like, it took me a long time, and I'm just at the beginning of a beautiful journey, but it's like the work that it went in to get here was intense. But then once you make it through that that journey, it's very rewarding when you find someone who meets you for who you truly are. You know what I mean?
Amen. Anyways,
that was like a little tangent. I got really, really moved. I got really moved.
No, that was so beautiful. This is really
I know. I'm loving this so much. Can we just, I like don't want this to end.
I know. I was just thinking that. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
we just talk. It's the first, you know, ever 3-hour podcast. Do 3-hour podcasts? I don't even know.
We definitely probably have.
Yeah, we're okay. Good. Yeah, you guys have some, because it's like, that's the thing. That's what I love about almost 30 is like, it just is these conversations. And that's even why I got inspired with this. I was like, just to have conversation, like women, especially, like we heal through word, we heal through conversing. And this, like, you know, this space where we can just share our hearts and our wisdom is just everything to me. So,
mm-hmm. Agreed. Seriously.
Thank you so much. I want to look at your chart. Is that okay?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. Oh my gosh. Okay. I feel like there's even so many things. Can we just do a round two at some point?
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay, awesome. I feel like there's so many things I still want to talk about.
I know the same, actually.
Okay. So yeah, babe, you have 4 planets in Capricorn. And
is Mars in Capricorn?
Your Mars is in Capricorn. Yeah. You basically have like Uranus, Saturn, Neptune, Mars, all in Capricorn, and they're all conjuncting each other in your 4th house. So here's what that means. Mm-hmm. So Capricorn's obviously, this is going to sound really funny, but you work from home. Mm-hmm. Well, Capricorn is about work and the 4th house is the home.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
God, that's so funny.
That's probably why like the corporate thing, like, I mean, probably you could like bust ass and take names there, but like you were like, fuck this. I need to work at home.
The structure like didn't make sense to me. I'm like, but everyone doesn't want to be here. So what are we doing here? Like I would literally say that all the time. I'm like, everyone wants to be at home. So why are we at home? I would actually say that like all the time.
You were like bringing the future because I feel like now we have like WeWorks and people are like working from home and it's just like this remote universe. Hold on. Mm-hmm. I want to keep switching back to looking at you. But so here's the thing. Did you feel like you found your power in yourself or started to move towards your trajectory when you dropped into your body, to your health and wellness, to your purpose, like all of that kind of stuff? Was that kind of like your gateway?
Yeah, that's actually completely right. So yeah, because I was doing like a lot of bad stuff to my body for a long time, like drinking diet pills. Like I've always been someone that hasn't really felt connected to my body. So, and I still struggle to be honest, but when I stopped drinking, when I stopped doing drugs, when I became vegan, I've been vegetarian for like 15 years or maybe 10 years. Yeah. But yeah, doing all of that stuff and then prioritizing my health now, like as number one, has really just been like a gateway for me spiritually and to like own who I am, because everything else is taken care of. It's like people want to be X, Y, and Z, but it's like you can be X, Y, and Z by getting 8 hours of sleep and by eating well so your blood sugar stays stable so you can be calm during conversations. Like I have the energy to do what I do because I eat kind of, you know, I eat well. I try and eat well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because basically you have sun conjunct your north node in Pisces in the 6th. And the way that I've learned this is that when your sun and your north node are in the same sign, same house, that can actually be the lifetime of your enlightenment, where you move towards like an enlightened version of yourself. I always like try to veer away from the word enlightened because I feel like people get, I don't know, it's kind of like funny, but it can be a big lifetime of true self-realization, because your awareness and then your soul's trajectory are on the same super highway, you could say. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like what you're moving towards and what your soul really wanted you to accomplish and approach is on the same team as like where your ego and like your reality are at. And they kind of guide each other because the sun is a very forceful, powerful, vital part of the natal chart. And then the north node is, you know, that's your soul's path. Like, so if you just fall, I always teach, like when I'm teaching women about life purpose, mm-hmm. I'm like, if you want to know your purpose, just take a look at your sun and your north node, and yours are right next to each other. So that can really, I can imagine just looking at it as an astrologer that when you started to get into your body and into the present moment and into like, that was your purpose. And that was going to be the way that everything else could unfold for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I had a human design reading and she's like, your goal in this lifetime is to love your body and like be in your body.
That is so cool. And babe, that is, I was just telling someone the other day, that's why I love, I've always been intrigued. I'm not like huge on human design. I've had mine read and it really was resonated, but I'm so familiar with my natal chart and they really go hand in hand. It's so cool.
Completely.
So yeah, that's cool.
Such a good reminder. I like needed to hear that.
And let me see as well. And then Jupiter conjunct Venus in your chart, which is like expansion through the feminine or expansion through women. And it's in the eighth house, which is like transformation, deeper topics, taboo topics, stuff of that nature. So that's fucking cool.
That's hilarious.
I know, when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, perfect. Like that's literally, and that's why I love to do this in these too. Cause it's like, it's so cool. Astrology is like, I always tell people it's not this like super woo subject. It's really about the individual. And I love, like, I geek out when I like know what people do in the world. And then I can go back and see like what resonates in their chart. So it's rad.
What is different energy? I actually don't really know that much.
Oh my God. So Capricorn is, I have a Capricorn rising. So Capricorn is like work. It's like work to the top. Like, you know, Capricorn, the goat, it's like, or not the goat, but Capricorn in the zodiac is a goat. Have you ever seen mountain goats? And they literally, they're like perched. I've only seen this one time in actual IRL. And I was fucking shocked that these goats, they get to these trippy places on these like look at the sheer faces of mountaintops. Like you're just like, how did you get there? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's so mind boggling. And a lot of people say that about Capricorn energy. They're like, how the fuck did you get there? And it's literally because Capricorn is Saturn ruled. It is so willing to go step by step, by step, by step, by step, and not stop and honor the process of time. A lot of people and a lot of like our generation, we just want the instant gratification, which all good. Like I get it, but there is something when you have Capricorn, it gives you that sense of time. And that is what you need to accomplish anything, right? You need to be tenacious over a period of time. So that's Capricorn. It's just like, it really knows how to, yeah, just like how to be tenacious, how to get to the top in its own way, in its own time. And it's very work oriented. Actually, the last amazing babe that I interviewed for Power Babe series, I'm posting her thing today actually, but she's a Capricorn. So we talk so much about Capricorn energy.
Oh, I love that. I like just kind of am realizing that or knowing that. So that just makes so much sense. Cause I would always see Pisces. I'm like, I'm so not a Pisces. Yeah, you know what I mean? But I'm
totally
not such a part of me that is so strategic and like work oriented. It's like,
yes. And babe, it's funny because my boyfriend is like a double Capricorn Pisces moon and you're like a Pisces with a lot of Capricorn. And I really feel like it's such a great combination because the Pisces is so creative and like I said, amoebic and can read situations, high intuition and empathy, which is like great for people and connecting to people and expressing a wide range of topics. But then in addition, the Capricorn gives form and structure and makes you just like work your fucking ass off. So it's like, sometimes if people have too much water in their charts, they don't know how to give form and structure to what they need to do. And it just kind of like floats around, but the Capricorn really creates a container. So even for you babes listening, if you don't have Capricorn in your chart, it's okay. You can take on some of those Capricornian traits and qualities. Cause here's the thing, even if someone doesn't have a planet in a house or sign in their chart, it doesn't mean that planet's not active. That's like a longer, geekier astrology topic to go into, but you know, we can all tap into that Capricorn energy because Capricorn really, like, I'm grateful that I have it in my chart because it just really has made me very tenacious and very like, okay, this, I'm here for the long road, you know, the long game. And you got to be like that if you want to accomplish something in the world. So So that's very much, you have a lot of that in your chart. And I thought when you said you were a Pisces, I was so surprised. I was like, because you have a very grounded, rooted energy to you. And not to say Pisces don't, but you came across more to me like you had earth or something in there, you know? So now we know why.
Work hard on that too, to be more grounded.
Really? Well, it's good for Pisces too. Like the fact that your sun and your north node are in the sixth house, well, that's a Virgo ruled house. That's an earth house. That's an earth ruled house. So the more you get rooted in your body and like in the moment, and I always tell people that, like, water signs and air signs especially, really fucking anybody. Like we're human beings, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Like you gotta come through the body to like make it happen. You know what I mean? You can't be like too ethereal. You can't be too like all over the place. And then even sometimes you can't be too in the body. It's such a fucking dance. We all have to find our unique synergy of what works, you know? Mm-hmm. Yay. I don't want this to end.
You know, I wish you were here, but I'm so excited to share this with our community. And like, when are you back? I would love to see you.
Oh my God. So I'm finally coming back tomorrow. I told you we've been like extending this little journey. So I'll be back to LA tomorrow. And then I'm coming back here in a few days. I'm basically going to be a part-time Palm Springer.
Good. But that's the thing too, is it's like, I want to see you, but also like when you first start like in love,
oh, you're just intoxicated.
You just gotta go. Yeah. It's like, honestly, there's just nothing else you want to do. You're intoxicated. Like
I'm finally, because I think I have so much Aries and Capricorn, I've always been kind of funny about love and vulnerability in relationships, but through a lot of the work that I've done, especially the tapping, it's just made me such a little gooey love goo blob, whatever. And I'm just like, oh, I'll just totally like, I'm so grateful to be in this space, especially from my journey with relationships. So I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to like, just totally celebrate this right now. You know, it feels so good.
Lean into it so hard. Like whenever my friends are in relationships, I'm like, bye-bye. Like,
That's how all my friends have been. They're like, so even my mom, I talk to her all the time. She's like, where are you? And I was like, Mom, I'm in love. She's like, oh boy. Call me when you can.
Let it go. And oh my God, I'm so happy for you.
Oh my God, babe. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this. Like, this is such an illuminating conversation. Like, I felt my heart just like explode like 7 times. So just thank you so much. You're incredible.
So good, sis. I love that so much.
Aww,
I loved thanks. It.
It felt really good. She's awesome. And it's a beautiful thing to talk about relationship with you. So
completely. And you are an expander for so many people. So I'm glad you got to share. Okay. So review of the week, truly life-changing, 5 stars, such an amazing podcast. I've been listening for the past few months now and have found it so helpful in so many aspects of my life. It's truly changed how I look at things and has encouraged me to try new things. Thank you so much, Krista and Lindsay, for your amazing words and the great guests you two bring on. That's from Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. Your reviews really do mean a lot to us. We take them in and we read all of them, feedback, all of the things, and it inspires almost 30.
Yeah.
And how we evolve.
And if you have, you know, gotten any value from this free content that you get from the podcast that we work so hard for, it would mean so much if you press pause right now, took a second to just give us a review. And if you do that, you can screenshot it and message 2K fam to our email and I'll send you something nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we will. We have a lot of stuff for you guys. So again, yeah, email us at which one do we want them to use?
Hello@almost30podcast.com.
Perfect. So can't wait to hear from you. We love you guys. Thanks for listening as always. And we will see you next time.
See you next time.